Hello and welcome to the What's Next podcast. I'm Kevin Gallagher. I'm joined again by Kieran Mooney. Kieran, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, Kevin. Something really exciting is coming up. So we've both been very, very busy, but all good things.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very special episode, and most likely it's going to be a very special part one of a two-part episode. Kieran, we've got one of the absolute legends of Alloa Athletic Football Club joining us.
Yeah, the most capped player that we've got, the third top goal scorer. The word legend gets banded about very loosely these days, but the epitome of a legend is Kevin Colley for Alloa Athletic, and delighted to have him on the podcast. What a guest.
Yeah, we're so fortunate that we caught up, sat down with Kevin for, pretty much a couple hours, a couple of weeks back. We're obviously launching, putting this podcast out the week of his testimonial is up and coming. So hopefully all the Alloa Athletic supporters sit back, grab a cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy some good wee stories with an absolute legend in Kevin Colley. I'm now delighted to say we're joined on the What's Next podcast by, what can only be described as an Alloa legend. Closing in on 500 appearances for the club, over 70 goals, countless honours, a couple of promotions, cup final, anything more I can add into it. But we've also, he's about to become the third, only the third Alloa player in history to be awarded with a testimonial match. Myself and Kira are absolutely delighted to say that we've got little Kevin Colley joining us on the podcast. Kev, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, all good. Absolutely delighted that you've been able to join us. It's going to be great. We've got a wee chat through your career, both before Alloa and then your couple of spells with Alloa as well. We've been asking the supporters in the last few weeks for some questions to put to yourself, and some of your colleagues in football have chipped in with some questions as well. So we'll throw them in now and again throughout the interview. But I guess we'll get straight into things. And I suppose that the place to start before we get into the Alloa stuff is just to talk a little bit about your career coming through in football and where you started. You obviously came through the youth system at Celtic and then a couple of clubs before you came to Alloa. But if you can start telling us about that kind of time growing up and coming through the system with Celtic.
Yeah, so basically I got scouted when I was in primary school. Played for St Mirren's Primary School, which is about in the south side of Glasgow. And I got scouted from a guy. I don't know if you remember, there was like twins called the Wilkie brothers. Ryan Wilkie and Kyle Wilkie. It was their dad. He was a scout at Celtic, and he picked me up, and literally we went through, it was Celtic at the time, had these kind of development centres, so must have been about maybe 11, 12 at the time, and then basically I've been in from 12 years old all the way up to reserve level. Countless managers over the years as well, played with so many good players and great experiences, and travelled the world. Great memories at Celtic.
I suppose it's not a bad introduction into the game to come through there. I was looking through the kind of what information I could find on that kind of part of your career and seeing what kind of names that you came through with. I'd be right in saying, Killian Sheridan, Michael Tidzer, Jason Marr.
Jason Marr, me and Jace were in the same team. I think he was at Hibs as a boy, and then we eventually signed him maybe when he was about 15, 16. But at that time it was, you had under fifth, it wasn't 16s, 17s, it was 15s, 17s and 19s, that was the age groups that you played at. So you were always kind of playing maybe a year above yourself as well. My age group, I had boys like Mark Muller, he was a year older than me, Paul Caddis, Simon Ferry, and then you had guys mentioned Killian Sheridan, Tidzer, he was a year below me, he played up as well. Bunch of boys. Mostly we had a lot of Irish boys that always came over. We always signed four or six Irish boys at the start of the season. So, and then a few European boys as well. But it was a good mixture of players at that time.
We don't mind. We don't mind name drops in this podcast, and I'm just going to try and keep an eye on the supporters' questions and you've name dropped some pretty decent players that you played with, but there must have been folk in that Celtic team that you looked up to and across football as well. And I suppose the first question comes from Pine Bovril, from Vegetable Man, I think his name is, on Pine Bovril. So he asks, who's your footballing hero growing up? Was it one of the boys in the senior team, or was it someone a little bit abroad or whatever?
Probably at the time, because I used to go to games with my dad. So at that time, it was like Martin O'Neill era. It would have been Henrik Larsson for me at the time. Aye. And as I get a bit older, I would say more like Zinedine Zidane. I like watching him. But definitely going to Celtic games with my dad, it would have been Henrik Larsson.
I can't believe you've not dropped in one of your ex-managers, Peter Grant, there. He must have been around when, I don't know if you were quite at Celtic by when he was still in the first team, but I think Grant will be gutted about that.
Well, I left in 2009, and I think Peter came in that year when I left, I'm sure with Tony Mowbray. So I just missed Peter Grant at the time. But I maybe remember watching a game when Celtic went to, Celtic relocated to Hampden when Celtic Park was getting done out. I remember going to games there, so I'm sure he probably didn't know who he was at the time, but I'm sure he probably was playing.
I'm sure you found out later when he put a rocket up your backside for any poor performances. Your time at Celtic, would I be right in saying with the 19s, runners up twice in the under 19 league, and I think you had two Youth Cup final defeats, unfortunately, as well to Rangers. Tell me about how that time at Celtic came to an end. I think it's something a lot of supporters are, I mean, you hear little tidbits about, you know, it's maybe a difficult side of the game when you see a lot of players who are coming through the kind of the big professional youth systems, and then they get to that point around about the under-19s, and they then have to, you know, potentially have to move on to somewhere else.
Yeah, so at the time it would have been Gordon Strachan was the manager, and at that time Celtic and Rangers, that's when the teams at the time were really competing for the league, top players, and the squads were massive. So for young boys to even try and get in to get a sniff, it was really hard. Other boys would probably say the same. Like, the first team would just train, and then say the reserves, and maybe 10 of yous, and then they would maybe take 5 from yous, and then you would just train with 5 yourself. So it was always difficult to try and get yourself into the first team, because you had like Nakamura, McGeady, Hesslink. I mean, Gravesen, Yarisic, all these guys, like top international players. So it was always difficult to try and get in. And then at that time now, when I look at it, I wish I kind of went out on loan at the time. But back then, it wasn't really much loan systems that now that the boys get a chance to go out and play competitive games. And as you said, when you get told, like, so I love playing for Celtic, boyhood club, and it is disappointment and shock, because I thought I'd done quite well at that time at the reserves. Yeah, it was like the top goal scorer, and unfortunately it just never worked out.
How does it actually work? I mean, that process had been, you know, released. How does that work, Kevin?
You just get taken into a room and they just chat away at you, and then they just say, basically, your time's up. It was Danny McGrain and Wally McStay were my reserve coaches at the time. We got on quite well with Danny. Me and Danny were very, very tight. He always used to take me, do one-on-one sessions all the time after training. I got a kind of good relationship with Danny. I think he kind of took it a bit bad when he had to tell me that I was getting released.
Perfect. So from Celtic, your first then foray into senior football took you down to Ayrshire, to Ayr United. How did that come about, signing for them?
To be honest, I kind of struggled to get a club after Celtic. It was potentially maybe go down south to try and maybe go to a few teams. It just never really worked out. And then it was just really, I think I went out to Partick Thistle on trial. That didn't work out, and then I went to Ayr and I played maybe 2 games, and Brian Reid was the manager at the time, and that would have been the old first division. So I think Ayr just got themselves promoted, and ended up signing for them. Probably wasn't the best thing at the time going there, but I think I just had to get a club. Probably looking back on it now, it's probably that transition. I would say now for going to Celtic to the next club, I probably should have prepared myself and picked a better club or the right club that suited me at that time. But I met some great guys down there. It just never really worked out.
Perfect. And as part of your time there, you then had a period on loan. You mentioned there about potentially going down south. Well, you went about as far south as you could within Scotland, going down to a loan period at Stranraer. How did you find that? I think, if I'm right in saying at the time, Stranraer would have been in the old, I mean, what would it have been, the third, you know, the fourth tier at the time. What was that like? You know, you're obviously still a young guy at that time, and, you know, you're going into what to me is quite a physical league. You know, you've got a lot of kind of old heads in there. What was that experience like down at Stranraer?
It was good just to get playing again, because I was always used to just playing games, and then I wasn't, it's like you leave that environment, full-time environment at Celtic, and then you get hot with like, or come away to like Elgin, and you're like, I've never experienced anything like this. Yeah. So you're like, this is what it's like. So it took me a while to get used to that. But Stephen Aiken, he was a manager. I think he was maybe the assistant manager, and Keith Knox was the manager as well. And that was just to get away and play. I maybe played 15, 20 games, and just to get that feeling about playing, enjoying it again. So that was good to get a taste of what it was like playing in the lower leagues.
Brilliant. Yeah, as you say, according to what I can see 15 appearances, your first couple of goals within senior football as well. I mean, from there, going into 2010-2011 season, this to me was, when I kind of look at your career, Kevin, I feel like this move is maybe the one that kind of potentially launched your career. You find yourself going to East Stirlingshire, and you have a season at East Stirlingshire, 42 appearances, 14 goals. I mean, we will mention as well that you scored against Aloe in a League Cup game as well that season, but do you feel is that when you started to find your kind of feet within senior football?
Definitely. The manager was Jim McNally, who was one of my youth coaches at Celtic at the time. And he said, just come along, do a bit of training. And I just eventually signed. He says, you're going to be playing here all the time. I knew the manager, I trusted him, knew what it was like. And as he says, I need to kind of get the head down for a season, get a full season under my belt. I think that obviously helped me. I think we just stayed up on the last day of the season. I think East Stirling were kind of club that was always kind of near the bottom at the time.
Yeah.
And I do remember that game against Alloa. I think it was a League Cup game. I think it was at the start of the season, maybe.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Because Brown Ferguson might have been playing centre midfield at the time. Maybe
it possibly could have been. I think it finished 2-1. I think it finished 2-1.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. It was yourself that got the goal for East Stirlingshire.
So basically, got a full season, which was good for me. And then on the back of that, eventually signed for Alloa.
So that kind of leads us nicely onto the good stuff, onto the crux of the interview. Tell us about how the move to signing for Alloa came about.
Initially, I think it was Paddy Conley that phoned me, because at the time Paddy was, I think he was a scout for Fulham in the lower leagues up in Scotland, and then Paddy played with Paul Hartley at St Johnstone when back in the day, and then I think obviously Paul got the job. I think he kind of really relied on Paddy to try and get a bit of networking through players, and that's how it came about. And then I knew Paul from his time at Celtic as well. And I thought, ambitious manager coming in, player manager, technically it was, I don't think he actually played a game. And I thought it's a great opportunity, and a kind of fresh, another fresh start from my point of view.
You see, on that summer, Paul Hartley comes in, decent bit of buzz about the club. I think when he started, he only had one player stay, Ross Phillips, but then that summer you see the likes of Scott Bain, Mikey Doyle sign. Is there a real sense that summer that you're onto something special?
I would say so. Obviously, it takes time to get players in, but I got about 10, 15 players within like the first month or so. So you could sense that something's happening at the club. They wanted to try and put a marker down. And straight away, Paul did say, he's like, I'm here to win the league and that's it. So from early on, it was like, that's the mindset. Like, we're going out to win the league. And you know, like yourselves, you've probably, if you watched the teams beforehand, so they get relegated in that season, your fans probably wouldn't have thought we would have won the league. You're like, it's a big job, guy, unknown manager coming in, untested, players that they've probably not heard of, and it was just one of those seasons that everything kind of clicked.
Was there a point in that season where, you know, you guys kind of, you started to believe, oh, do you know what, this is possible, this is happening?
Probably at Christmas time, I think everybody kind of looks at the season, like if you see where you are after Christmas, if you're in contention or if you're at the bottom, you kind of get a rough idea where you're going to maybe end up. And I think we went through a spell, like we were like unbeaten so many games, and we just put a run back to back. And then I think we did win the league with maybe 5 games to spare. So it just showed you how much we did put in from Christmas onwards. And even like the start of the season, there was, even the first game, I think we scored late on that time as well, was probably, and then we could beat Annan, I'm sure, and Paul lost his head, he went berserk at us. He was like, what's it going to need to take me to get my boots on and stuff like that? But yeah, I would say Christmas onwards, we kind of, you get that sense of belief that like, we can do it here.
What were the celebrations like once you won the league?
Try to think now. I think Paul organised something in the city centre for us. I think we went some karaoke bar, and then we were out for a few days after that. but I'm sure we won the league, and I think we went away to Berwick, and I think we got beat 5-0 or something. We won the league, we went to Berwick, beat 5-0, and that was our night out as well for the celebrations. Paul's just said, he gave a crate of beer in the changing room and says, right, on you go, enjoy yourself.
Was that before the game though?
I think a few boys probably did have a few before.
Obviously a great season for the club, winning the old third division. You look forward then into the next season, and there's not a lot of teams go through back-to-back promotions. I don't think Allo were much fancied for being able to do that into the second division the following season. What were the expectations internally going into that next season, having just won the league? Was it a case of looking to try and consolidate up in the second division, or was there the belief there from the players, from Paul Hartley as well, that you could go on and again do something in the next season?
Yeah, probably it's when you win the league, like you're always on. You're riding that wave. You can see a lot of clubs, like just as you say, go back to back. I think we had a good squad. He added more players in. I think maybe Stephen Simmons came in at the time, more experienced players. We got Callum Elliott as well, I'm sure. So we were kind of building a good squad. And I think at the time at Christmas, Queen of the South might have been near the top. And I thought there was a game. I can remember it would have been, I think the pitch was icy or snowy, and we were trying to get the game on, and we did. I think Ross McCord ended up scoring a penalty, and it kind of brought us dead close to Queen of the South at the time, who were full time. And then afterwards, I think they kind of ran away with it a wee bit. We just lost a wee bit of momentum, but got to the playoffs, and that was a great time as well.
That was a big moment, that game. I remember that. It was the only game across all 42 teams in the SPFL that day, and I think it was right. Was it Ryan McCord or was it Ross McCord that stuck away the penalty, and we won 1-0. And like you say, that was all. Everyone was watching that game. It was the only game that was on.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure it was Ryan McCord. We won 1-0, and I think the following week we went away to Stranraer. I think we get beat that game. I'm not sure. And then the gap kind of got a bit. Bigger after that, so I think if we maybe won the game at Stranraer and put more pressure on them, it might have been a different outcome. But we still got through the playoffs at that time, which was a great achievement for the club, was, as you said, some fans might have been like, new into the league, try and consolidate, stay in the league, and then take it from there. But we just went straight up for it.
Yeah, that Queen of the South team were exceptional that year. Nicky Clark was scoring for fun, so for Alloa to be up in contention was, you know, credit to yourselves. But I remember going into that Dunfermline game, and that was kind of one of the first games in that Paul Hartley era, or not the first, but one of the big games that I felt like this Alloa team, you know, they are one in a kind, because it was a big crowd, and the first leg of that Dunfermline playoff game was unbelievable. You played them off the park. It finished 3-0 that night, and the tie was effectively done.
That's right. I can remember it was an absolute scorching. I think it was maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday night. It was absolutely roasting. I'm sure the game got delayed 15-20 minutes just to get, obviously, the influx of fans were coming in. From Dunfermline, what a good crowd, and Alloa, great to them, they came out in their droves as well, and 3-0, I think people probably weren't expecting us to win, but Alloa always underdogs over the years, and we've always kind of came up trumps in, obviously, the kind of bigger playoff games.
That season must have been a bit of a highlight for yourself. It was the first of two times that you've been the club's one of the times you've been the club's top goal scorer, 14 goals that season. It kind of leads me on a little bit of a tangent, but we've obviously seen you over the years playing various different positions for Alloa, you know, obviously starting really as an out and out striker. We've seen you behind the front two, we've seen you in midfield, we've seen you at right wing back, at right back. I'm interested in what your kind of view is. I'm kind of expecting here the typical pros answer, I'm just happy to be playing wherever I'm playing, whatever, but I want to know where do you want to play, where's your preferred position?
Growing up, I always play kind of up front or behind the striker. That's the kind of position that I like playing, and then for some reason I ended up just like drifting out to the right. I can't even remember why, when it was or why, but I've always just kind of ended up playing out the right. I wouldn't say I'm a winger, I'm more playing in the pockets in between. I'm probably more beneficial playing forward, more a playmaker than kind of playing right back or right back. which is not my position. My dad played right back, so maybe it's in the family history, but I'm definitely not a right back. But I always give 100%. Right back's probably, it's like right mid, but you're more kind of playing defensively. But yeah, I would say I'm more kind of effective and in the game higher up the pitch.
Perfect. So obviously getting promotion through the playoffs that season, it took you up into the championship. The first of two seasons that Alloa survived, that Alloa were playing in the championship. I'm interested how big a jump was that? I think particularly the fact that the Alloa team has went from the third division to the second division up to the championship, having those consecutive promotions. Do you see a big jump between, you know, the ability of other teams within the different divisions?
I wouldn't say there's a massive gulf. There is a bit of difference. All these teams are full time, so obviously they're going to have an edge on you, definitely. More time to prepare, etc. Whereas we were only in 2 nights a week, but at that time we were one of the fittest teams, I would say, in the league, if not the country. We were really fit under Paul Hartley. Fitness coach at the time is, remember, Tam Ritchie. He was really, really good at his job. So we knew that we could go toe-to-toe with teams, so there was no they're going to win the game because they're fitter than us, because we knew we were fit as them, and if not, better on the ball than most of these teams. And you could see that first spell when we did get into the league. I think we were maybe fourth or fifth in the league, and then Paul kind of jump-shipped. So yeah, I think we done really well that kind of first season under Paul. And then I'm sure it was Barrett came in.
Yeah.
And it was, we kind of dipped a wee bit of form, which is probably going to happen as well throughout the season. But we managed to stay up in the last day of the season, which was probably one of the best days, because we thought we were down, and then We've got a lot of thanks for Bob McHugh.
Yeah. we've been debating whether he can play for the Alloa Legends team in your testimonial after that goal, despite never having played for Alloa.
I know. I should actually give him a text and see if he wants to play.
that was a particularly interesting time within Scottish football with everything that had went on and the kind of years leading up to that with, you know, the Rangers and everything like that. And I think it made the achievement of Alloa staying up that much bigger when you actually have a look at what that championship was like at that time and the kind of teams that were in there. Was there any particular highlights of that kind of period of your career, you know, playing against some of the biggest clubs in the country and getting some decent results against some of the biggest clubs in the country?
Yeah, I think when Rangers eventually got into the league, we've had a few great results at Ibrox midweek, a couple of draws, and obviously the more memorable game was the Petrofac semi-final. And even like over the years, we've had Hibs there. I'm sure Flanny scored a wonderful free kick against Hibs. We've Hearts, Livingston, Dundee United, plenty of teams that have came at Alba and they've got a really, really tough game against us and a lot of great results against these bigger clubs.
What's that like as a player when, you know, particularly at a game at the Rex, when you've got, you know, you look at Alloa's average crowd in a season, an average game, I would say there's, you know, maybe 650 or something like that at a home game. What is that like as a player when you're coming out there and you see when it's one of these big teams and there's, you know, a massive, massive travelling support? What's that like to play in?
It's obviously you want to play in the big games, but sometimes I don't really take notice the crowds. It's good to have the crowds there, but it's just on the pitch and you're solely just concentrating on your job at hand. But obviously having the bigger crowds there, it does create that atmosphere, which is obviously good to play in. But yeah, I would say probably just more focusing on the game at hand and make sure you're getting your job done. I would say that was probably more personally what I would kind of concentrate on.
Probably leads us on quite nicely. A wee bit of a side point, but a question that came in from young Bailey Welsh that obviously you've played at, you must have played at pretty much all the lower league grounds and most of the Premiership, if not all of them as well. You don't really take notice of the crowds, but do you have a favourite away day as a player?
I think we play, I would say, Tynecastle was, that's a good stadium to play at just because they're basically on top of you. I would say Tynecastle is probably one of the good ones. Ross County's got a good pitch. We were up there pre-season one time, great pitch. You're always especially playing in grass for about AstroTurf for 11 years, it's no good in the hip. So getting a decent grass pitch is all right to play in, especially in the summertime.
Perfect. You mentioned there before about how there was obviously a managerial change during that first season within the Championship. What's that like for yourself as a player in terms of, you know, what differences did you see between Paul Hartley and Barry Smith coming in? And you mentioned there about how there was a little bit of a dip in form around that time. What is it like as a player when there's a change at the top?
It's like you need to kind of prove yourself again because a new manager that comes in. If it's a fresh kind of slate for every player, so the boys that maybe have not been playing, it's a chance for them to kind of impress and get themselves back in the team. So it's for you first week, there's like the training's like the tempo's so high, you're like, oh, the new manager in, it happens at every club. So I would say probably the boys are just obviously what impressing the manager, and then you need to take in the ideas that the way he wants to play, so you need to kind of adapt. Obviously different managers at different times, but I think Barry just came in and it was, we were kind of on a downward spiral, and it was like, to try and consolidate, keep us in the league, and we eventually did do it.
Brilliant. And you know, you've mentioned some of the guys that were in the dressing room around that time. I'm interested to know what was that dressing room like, you know, under Paul Hartley and then Barry and eventually Danny Lennon coming in. you know, who were the characters that were in there, and what was the atmosphere like in that at that time?
The Danny Lennon time. So I think Michael Chopper would have been there. So
yeah.
So that was like a total surprise. I think he signed on one of the days that we played Rangers away at would have been at Ibrox.
Yeah.
And it was I remember because it was on my birthday, it was 17th of March, we got a 2-8 draw, and Michael Chopper, we got on at the bus and Michael Chopper was on it, and you know, Sparky, Mark Dockett, he's like, all right, Chops, how you doing? And what's happening, big man? What you doing here? And you know what Sparky's like? He would like blutter anything to anybody. He's an R guy. What a guy he is, Sparky. Travelled, he was in my car school for most of his time at Allah, so I got a lot of time for Sparky, some man.
We were lucky enough to be joined by Sparky earlier in, well, last season now. And it's funny that the way you kind of talk, and you know, for those listening, we're on a video call just now, so I can see your face, the smile. Aye. As soon as you started talking about it, then it's quite interesting that it was the same the other way around. Mm-hmm. As well. Sparky had a lot of really nice things to say about yourself. I mean, I suppose it kind of leads us on to the down part of your Alloa career, and you know, we're talking about Sparky, and I mean, he's cast himself as your agent. You move away from Alloa for the season. How did, I mean, what happened? What happened at the end of the first spell for moving on? And is it true that we need to blame Sparky that we've not had you for that season as well?
So at the time, I think, but also it was Danny Lennon. We stayed up. I think it was the Forfar game. We just stayed up. And at the time, a lot of the boys, like Ben Gordon, Lou McCann, all these guys, Ryan McCord, they were all thinking they were moving on. Like, I kind of knew they were going to full-time clubs. And then at the time, I was planning on staying. And I just done a U-turn at the last minute. Stephen Aitken phoned me, said, do you want to come to Dumbarton? And I knew Dumbarton were still in the Championship.
Yeah.
They were doing well. And I thought, I've done 4 years at Alloa, it's probably time for a change for myself. Because I knew other boys were leaving as well, and I felt a bit selfish. You know what I mean? I was like, I want to maybe go on and try something new. And Sparky did have a bit of influence on it as well, to be fair. But yeah, so we went to, both us went to Dumbarton, and we did stay up. We did have a successful season, and then obviously I done a U-turn and came back again.
Yeah, it was the story of two seasons that year. That links nicely to something that one of the Alloa stats page put in, and you mentioned guys like Pongo and Bucks and Ben Gordon all going full time. Did you ever have any offers or rumours of offers to go back to full time in either spell at Alloa? And what's kind of made you stick with the club and stick part time?
I think maybe Queen of the South are probably one of the clubs that were trying to get me. My first kind of spell at Alloa when I was doing really well in that season. I think it was the first season on the Paul, maybe Dundee were kind of sniffing about, I heard. But Scottish footballers, not, you need to have a bit of stability, and I think these clubs are maybe offering 1 year, be a year option after so many games. And then also with my work, when I was working at Slater's, playing part-time football, it was beneficial to me having two wages, and I just felt there was no security going full time. You never know, I could have taken a chance at it, and then you know, I might have had a great season, and you've obviously seen boys that move on again. But yeah, I just thought it wasn't probably the right time for me to step into full time football. So plus, I wouldn't want to leave Alloa.
Yeah, Alloa's gain for sure.
Did that period going into that season where you moved to them, did it feel like it was an end of an era at Alloa?
Yeah, I think so. We won the league, got promotion, stayed up again, And then I just thought, yeah, it's definitely... I think, was that been the time with Petrofac as well? Did we... Was that that year?
That was 14, 15,
I think. We got to the
final. The final of the year before.
Yeah. So I thought, I've kind of done... Not done everything, Alan, but I just thought, I need a wee change. Just to, obviously, for myself. I and Dumbarton were part-time. Obviously... not that far away from Glasgow, so
yeah.
It was, when you weigh up the options, it was probably best for me to just kind of try something new.
What was that like the following season playing against Ala? The fact that, you know, the 4 years there, when you take out your time growing up through Celtic, that was your, you know, it was your longest period at a senior club. You know, you're then going up against them. To be fair to you, you had a pretty good time against us that season. You played us five times, but you Dumbarton won three, you drew one, and won one for Alloa. But was there any kind of different feeling when it was Alloa you were going against?
It was. It felt weird going back to the Rex and not being in the right changing room, seeing like Pat the kit man and. Where I'm always on our side of it, warming up on our side, and just wearing a different strip, different colours. It felt weird, but yeah, it was only for a year, so it wasn't that bad. I came back, so I know like a lot of fans probably like, "Oi, you left and that," but eventually came back. So the chairman always says we kind of get rid of the players. Always end up coming back. Grass isn't always greener on our side. He always keeps saying that to me.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You obviously talked to, there was a couple of Alloa players went to Dumbarton that season. I think when you look at it the other way, what happened the following season in terms of the flow of players coming from Dumbarton back to towards Alloa, I think we can let you off with that one.
That was always in the plan. That was it. Go a wee sabbatical year and do a bit of recruitment and bring most of the players back. I've kind of been, basically, they're kind of here, still there. So it wasn't too bad.
I think Kieran, does that lead us on to a question from one of Kevin's footballing teammates about another teammate, all 3 years involved with Dumbarton and all 3 years now massively involved with Alloa. There was a question came out, it's probably someone you know, Kevin, Mr. Scott Taggart.
Right, okay.
That's a good one to go to next. So Tags is, he sent a tweet in, and obviously one of the players that followed us as well was, you know, another Alloa legend, Andy Graham, notorious for his tunes, his songs, his karaoke. Tag says, do you have a favourite Andy Graham song?
Oh, so many Andy Graham songs, that's the thing. So we were also in a WhatsApp group with all the boys, and he always just like randomly put in like voice notes, and it would be him singing a song, but it was like about the players and about everything else. And yeah, there was a few good songs in that, but the one that it was like our first, must have been when they came to Alloa, to do like our first Christmas night out, and he got everybody doing like this song called I'm a Cat, I'm a Cat, I'm a Glasgow Cat. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like literally in, and I don't know where it was, maybe in Dublin or Manchester, Liverpool, I can't remember, but he's got us all doing like the hand actions, like I'm a cat and stuff. And I'm sure he'd done it down at the Leisure Bowl one season as well. He had everybody doing that. So he's Andy, what a guy. Honestly, I've got a lot of time for him. He's a different kind, Andy is. But he's been a great servant at Alloa. Great captain, and he's just a good guy to have around and just to talk to. And he's a legend, Big Andy as well.
Is he one that you can see going into management? We got a question in that said, "What one of your teammates do you see going into management after their career?" Andy's probably the obvious one, I would imagine.
Definitely, I thought about. I think he's maybe had a chance to go, but you know, Andy's just wants to keep playing. I think the big man's turning 40 this year, so he would literally run through a brick wall for the club. And I think it's testament to how he's kept his fitness up and he looks after himself. But yeah, I would say Andy would probably be the one that I see definitely going into management, because he's a great speaker, a great leader, and people listen to him. So I think you need that. You need players to be, if you want to be a manager, you need players that want to play for you. And I think Andy's like, he's got that respect throughout, not even just now, but just throughout, obviously the lower leagues, everybody knows him, what kind of nice guy he is. So I think he will, once he does take that step, I'm sure he'll be successful.
Is that something that's interested yourself at all, you know, looking ahead now, you know, when eventually you do hang up the boots, would you still like to be involved in football, management, coaching, some other type role?
I thought when I was younger, maybe do something that in that capacity, but I don't know. I would still want to be, when I do retire, I'll be like, what am I going to do on my Saturday? I like the buzz being about the change room, having the banter with the lads. It would be good, maybe Andy might just take me along with him. It's like, you want to just come along with me. Don't need any coaching, that, just come along, hang about. But yeah, I wouldn't mind. Still doing it in a wee bit of capacity, but I think I don't think I'm the kind of sort of manager or coaching type. Wouldn't mind doing a bit of training and stuff, but I wouldn't see myself going down that line.
Someone said on Twitter that you could replace Pat Dunne, but I imagine that's very big boots to fill.
I don't think Pat would let me do it, that's the thing. Pat's another great guy. Pat's probably, he must be in his 70s now, and he's got two knee replacements. He just keeps going and going. But yeah, Pat's like, just the club in general, you think, everything behind the scenes, you've got Pat, you've got Joyce, you've got Tony, you've got the groundsman, everybody, it's all chips in, and it's good to see smiles in their faces when you do have a successful season, because it does mean a lot to them, and that's the thing with Arlo, it's a great community club and everybody chips in, and yeah, that's probably why I kind of like the club and I've always kind of stayed and had an affection with them, is just the way it's been run.
That's all for part one of our interview with Kevin Colley. Part two will be up on Tuesday, where we'll look at Kevin's second spell at the club and also fire in some more of your listener questions.